Hey, this is Abigail, and I'm just popping on right before the episode to let you know that this is going to be the season finale of season 2 of the DMV Wedding Pros podcast. In the interim, you can follow us on Instagram at DMV Wedding Pros podcast, and you can also follow me on Instagram at Abby Doodle Productions to keep up in the meantime. If you found something valuable in season 2 of the podcast, I would love if you would share it with your friends. Thank you so much for your support. Hey everybody, welcome to the DMV Wedding Pros podcast. I'm your host, Abigail Cole from Abby Doodle Productions. I am so excited about this episode, and I know I say that every time, but this is a conversation that I've been wanting to have on the podcast for a really long time. I'm talking to Carly LeDrew from Carly Fuller Photography all about LGBTQ+ inclusion within the wedding industry. If you know me, you know this is a topic that's really close to my heart. It's why I started the LGBTQ+ wedding resource guide for the DMV that lives on my website. We're talking all about inclusion and making it a safe space for all in the wedding industry. That means on our websites, through our marketing, through our posing. We kind of cover the whole spectrum today, and I just think it's a really valuable conversation for everybody within the wedding industry. So let's just jump in. Hey, Carly, I'm so excited for you to be on the podcast today. If you just want to give us a little introduction.
Good morning. I'm so happy to be here and to get to share and talk with you today. I am Carly. I own Carly Fuller Photography, which is a wedding and lifestyle boutique photography studio. We just opened up our new space in Savage Mill, and we specialize in capturing all love stories, business branding, portraits, you name it. We just want to be a part of capturing people's stories in their lives.
Awesome. Well, I'm really, really excited to have you today and be talking about our topic, which is the LGBTQ+ community when it comes to the wedding industry. Where would you like to start?
I would love to start about just, you know, the word inclusivity. Mm-hmm. I think that so many people want to be inclusive and want to celebrate everyone's love story, because at the end of the day, we are all a part of this like incredible wedding industry, and we're a part of people's like biggest, best, epic, you know, most exciting day of their life. And so I think a lot of people do want to celebrate inclusivity, and maybe they're just not sure how, or, you know, what sort of language and pieces might actually not speak to inclusivity. Mm-hmm.
So when we start with the basics, which is, you know, a website, I feel like there are, you know, things that you can write out in text, and there are things that are either symbolic or like a vibe. I don't know how to explain it, but like, what kind of things do you think people are looking for when they head to a website to understand like this brand is inclusive and won't turn me away because of who I am?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that starts with, I always call it like the seeds that we plant along the way, or like the seeds that you leave a trail for your ideal client. Like, who do you really want to speak to? And I think that starts with the actual identification of the person who owns the business. You know, what is their story? Like, what are they wanting to relate to their client? Who are they speaking to? And really working on like identifying your why will actually help you then lay those other, you know, stepping stones for your client to find and feel welcome. So when your business has its why and, you know, it has its story that it's sharing, then the website, your Instagram, your, you know, verbiage in your emails, the PDFs that you share with each client will speak to each person individually, versus, you know, a lot of professionals are still using the word bride. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is, you know, really just a word that we need to like put to the side, because, you know, I got married a year and a half ago, and I don't know about anyone else who's listening to this, but like, I am, you know, very feminine woman, and I, you know, everyone called me a bride, but I was like, I am a bride. I get it. But like, I am just in love and like so freaking excited to marry my person.
Yeah.
And I really feel as though, yet again, like bride is just another boxed in term that we call a female. So the like great thing about this conversation is that we get to like share, you know, words that might work better for people.
Definitely.
Like just simple words like couple, client, spouse, partner, significant other, you know, and you can make it fun, like your boo thing, like whatever you vibrate with, like whatever word you might call your spouse or your like favorite person in the world, like, you know, start using that language in your website and your PDFs or your emails.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's so important because for so long, even like the contact form on my website said bride and groom. And then when I started realizing that that was not the sole couple who was booking me, you know, I went in and I was like, well, how do I fix this? Do I write like bride slash groom, groom slash bride, but that's still heteronormative? Like I couldn't figure out how to do it for a little while. And then I basically changed all the language on my website, my wedding guide, my contact form to like you and your partner. And then when we came back for season two with the podcast, the first episode was with Jenna Miller, who was a web designer. And she told me this story about a photographer who used babe number one and babe number two for their contact form. And I was like, I am taking that. So yeah, I think that's so important because I think language is where it all starts. And there are plenty of people who don't identify as a bride or a groom. And I think that's so important to know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my wife, you know, she didn't really identify as a bride or groom. Mm-hmm. Like when we went to even have our like batch parties, which is what we call them, which that's a whole nother industry that serves everyone, you know, and we're here, we're putting everybody in boxes like bachelor and bachelorette parties. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Shannon didn't identify in that way. And the best experience that we had was going to Bendel and Keep in New York. And like Shannon was just beaming. She got to custom design her own suit. And it was like one of my favorite days watching her feel like seen. Yeah. And like in her element. Like she, it just, everything fit. And she was so excited to finally have like a suit that was tailored to her, you know, her body.
Definitely. I had a bride in November who was the same way, and she went to Bendel and Keep and just like could not speak more highly of them. And it was really good to know because I have plenty of people looking for like an inclusive suit experience that isn't like a super masculine vibe. So I think it's really important that there are services like that and businesses that are so open to fitting everybody. And I just love that that exists. I didn't realize that she went there, but that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And from the moment you walk in, when you speak to them on the phone, when you set up your appointment, they are just so open and aware to who are you? Like, how do you want to be defined? Because that's what they want to see and, you know, create for you. So, you know, the first interaction we had, you know, they ask our pronouns. Mm-hmm. And so that was something for me personally, like marrying a woman and going through this like process of planning a wedding, I actually really got to see like how other businesses, you know, plan their process and like their systems in place to be inclusive. So that starts, you know, with just questions. And I think just being able to ask openly, like, you know, what are your pronouns? Like, how do you like to be, you know, called? Like, you know, what are your nicknames? Just like opening yourself up to, you know, not assuming things about people.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, I caught myself in my own trap when I just referenced a bride. But when you talk about your couples or your potential clients, is there like, you know, we could say couples, we could say people getting married, but like what comes to mind is maybe people posting on like Instagram about like general statements about their clients, and they use brides a lot. I do it all the time. And so is there a, like a word that you have found or a phrase that you found that's like pretty general and still kind of fits the bill for that?
Totally. I just think couples.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, I think that that is, that's the word I personally replaced it with about like 10 or so years ago. Mm-hmm. Just because I didn't like the sound. I know it sounds so silly, but like brides and grooms just isn't my favorite word.
Sure.
Everybody has like their favorite word. So couples are my favorite. Like, I just think it relates to everybody. Also because, you know, we're in the like business of telling love stories. And I don't think that that's only on the day that you get married. And I don't think that it's just because you have a marriage certificate. So bride and groom, you know, kind of niches it down to that 1 second. Whereas like the word couples, or, you know, find whatever word vibrates with you, but like that kind of goes beyond that one day.
Definitely. That's one thing that I talk to people about a lot is we should be getting to know our couples as more than just a bride or a groom, as more than just a person getting married, because you're right. It's one day. It's one day that they are having a wedding and getting married, and then their story continues. And I think that's so important to recognize.
Yeah, absolutely. And funniest story is like the reason why I started using the word couples is because my best friend, Dennis, he and his husband, we went like, you know, bridesmaid dress shopping, which I also, you know, we can talk about those words too.
Yeah.
But we went to find like my, you know, maid of honor dress. And we went to some place I won't, you know, name. Mm-hmm. But they, the moment we walk in, there's two men and me. And we walk in and they were like, oh, who's the bride and who's the groom? And I was just like, and me, my little like radar was like, excuse me, these are my best friends. These are going to be two husbands. They're both grooms. And I am a maid of honor. So maybe we should think about a new question. Like I always Seriously. Go into like immediate education because yeah. I'm like, that is so not sensitive. Like, yeah. you know, it's just not compassionate. Like in my opinion.
Yeah. And I do want to recognize now, and I'm sure as we go along, I think there are certainly levels to it. And if you are trying to be better about it and you're trying to be more inclusive and change your language and ask those questions, it's wonderful because you're way beyond a lot of people, but it's okay to make mistakes or slip up or, you know, say bride and groom every once in a while. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I just think that we need to continually educate ourselves, especially because I think like, luckily, I think the wedding industry is changing for the better at the moment. So this is such a topic that I'm like, just so passionate about, but I try to educate people about it and I still slip up, and that's okay.
Oh, absolutely. Like we are human at the end of the day, and we get into our own routines and like we get into our own comforts. Like I'm sure sometimes I forget that like not everybody's lesbian, you know, married to a woman. So yeah. I'm just like, you know, and I relate the same stories, you know, to people that maybe don't relate. So definitely like we all mess up, like. And I think the best words are like they and them, and learning to use those words in our vocabulary more than identifying the he, she, just because it's an instant like word where you can't mess up.
Yeah.
So I'm actually working on like trying to use those words more than like he, she.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I'll admit like my brain, I think it's a hard thing to kind of relearn, especially when if you've like grown up a certain way where binary is just what there is. I have a good friend of mine who is starting to experiment with pronouns of they, them, and I've known them for so long. And so I slip up sometimes, but as again, like it's something you are educating yourself on and you're working at it. And if they love you, then they understand. But I think the general they, them is like definitely something we should be working toward.
Definitely. And so we talked about like websites, emails are another place that, you know, you mentioned as well, like using certain language. And then, you know, on Instagram, and now there's Clubhouse, you know, people are making live videos on Instagram and TikTok. And so when you're speaking, sometimes it's even good for me personally, I practice or like will quickly run through what I want to say just to find out if I am going to say something that's not going to be like not going to feel like a hug to everybody.
Yeah.
So that's kind of one of those things that's helpful too.
Yeah. And when it comes to using pronouns, is there like, do you have yours like in your bio on your website? Like where do you suggest that people kind of put their own in order to make it a safe space?
So I leave mine at the bottom of my email with my name and company name. And that I feel is just like an opening door to others if they want to share their pronoun with me. I actually don't ask for pronouns in my emails because I've changed all of my language to be way more broad. Because I am like, I'm one of these people, maybe I'm like far on the. I just really don't want to put people in boxes because my whole life I just always resisted like sitting in a box that somebody else defined me by. But you can make whatever boxes you want to understand people. Like, so, you know, we're in a business too. So we kind of do, some people have to track, you know, details and information.
So website, emails, Instagram, social media, when it comes to direct marketing, do you have kind of ideas about marketing itself?
So, marketing in the terms of like advertisements. So, that for me is super visual. And like you said, vibing. So, when you're identifying your like your own why and you know what is so important about your business, like what do you want to create for your client? That's when I think comes into like the visualization of the text. So I think a great ad can actually be like one image and that will speak to your ideal client. So remembering to look through your portfolios, like we all forget to like reassess our work that we're sharing as photographers, as you know, anyone else in the wedding industry, you know, who's sharing imagery. Go back and look through your past images and make sure that like all of your clients are represented. And if they're not, you know, start to find ways to integrate more of, you know, those images in. Even if it's more images of hands, like, you know, the backs of people, like, you know, all sorts of things, like everybody's butts. I'm just kidding. But like, just putting more hands involved. I always feel like hands are the unity for everyone because. You know, when you look at a hand, sure, you might be able to define it by like a sex or, you know, put a definition on it, but I feel like hands are one of those like unifying things for us all.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm so glad we're talking about that because I think it transitions well into like the styled shoot world. And I have some strong opinions on styled shoots. So I completely agree with you. I think it's really important to A, show what you want to sell always, whether that's, I mean, anything. But B, to fully be representing everybody and all couples who may inquire with you. And I think that's hard for people if they don't have that to show yet. Like they want to, but how do they go about doing that? So I was very into styled shoots for a couple of years. I feel like it's teetering off a little bit. But when I do styled shoots in the past year and then ongoing, I don't love to do styled shoots with, this is, I don't know, this is, I haven't said this in any public forum before, but I don't really love doing shoots anymore with straight, skinny white couples because we don't really need any more of that represented in the wedding industry. Maybe that's bold of me to say, but that's how I feel. So I think that it's really important that when you're doing styled shoots, both the models and your vendor team is a diverse team. So I do think styled shoots are a viable way to get that inclusivity into your portfolio, but it has to be done in an ethical way. And I am extremely against having two straight people just pose next to each other so that it looks like a same-sex couple for you to put on your website.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that that still goes back to identifying your why. Like, if you're really working on trying to get to the root of like who your business is, like who do you really want to make an impact on? Like, who do you want to inspire? That there, if that's defined and like you have that written out and you feel like that's like, yes, that is me, that's like who I want to attract, then when you go to plan the styled shoot, that's just like an embodiment of who you are and what you want to be seen as, you know. Sometimes our clients can shift our businesses one way just because we're marketing to a certain, you know, area. And that doesn't mean that my clients 100% define me and my brand. Mm-hmm. So that's a really important thing to talk about, is like when you are curating your styled shoots or curating your online portfolio, you don't have to include, you know, every client that you've photographed if they don't like really speak to the message that you want to come across.
And I think that also kind of goes into, I see, you know, the styled shoot thing debated a lot in Facebook groups. Unfortunately, I don't know why it's a debate that like we shouldn't be pretending like straight people are in the queer community. But but the other thing that I see pop up a lot in like posing groups is like, oh, well, I'm working with a gay couple. How do I pose them? Because I mostly work with like someone who identifies as a man and a woman. And I think it's important because half the comments on those threads are, you pose them like any other couple. I can't believe you're asking this question. And half the comments are like judgment. It's just, it's so frustrating though, because like, I think it's a valid question because it is a little bit different. I think, no, you shouldn't be treating them any different than any couple. However, there are things that you need to keep in mind, especially if they're not identifying as very masculine or very feminine. And I think that that's a valid question that people are like, ugh, I can't believe you asked this. I'm like, I don't understand. I don't know. What is your opinion on that?
No, I think posing and like balancing couples' energy is like super important. And I think that that comes into our own awareness, you know, our own comforts as ourselves. I pose my couples as if I have like a pretend fiance or person next to me. So like I have like this imaginary person always with me. So, you know, it's great to actually practice with your imaginary person in the mirror. And, you know, cause that could be a masculine or feminine leaning, you know, energy. Mm-hmm. And you're totally right. Like posing two women versus a male and a female figure, all of our figures are so different. But if you kind of strip away like our sex, we just are figures. I was lucky enough to get my BFA in photography at an art school that like forced us to do like all of this crazy artsy stuff. We had to like paint and do, you know, create our own structural like art. And so I took like square rocks, you know, stones, and we had to like chip it away and create our own form. And like, that's all that a human body is. So if we can kind of start to strip away the fact that we're identifying as a sex and just look at their figures and like, how do their figures fit? Like, I always talk about it as like, if I'm not sure of how to pose someone, my first thing is, all right, you two, get into your nook. Because we all as humans, like even with our best friend or your parent, like you have a nook with that person. So if you guide them to find their first nook, that will start to help you see how their bodies like shape and fit with each other. Like male, female, whatever you identify as, your bodies are all different.
I love that. I have never heard it in that way before, but I love that so much. I think most people, if they are offering advice on that kind of forum, they say what I think is a good suggestion, which is to ask them like, one of you do this thing and one of you go like this, so that they're kind of in control of what roles they're in. And I think that's
absolutely
smart. Yeah.
Yep. Like someone kiss someone on the cheek. Like, yeah. You know, I start on like the low key and then I get more brave and I'm like, you know, kiss down their neck, kiss on their shoulder, kiss all the way up from their hand to their neck. You know, like you get a little silly and playful. That's just like my style of photography. And you'll get to see who grabs whose hand, like who might want more affection. And that's another good segue into like some couples' way that they show love is different than other couples. Like, so we also in the wedding industry, like, you know, show tons of images of people kissing and that like means that you're in love, you know, but I actually think that there's a lot of other affections that show and that some people are more comfortable with, that still shows like that this is like a love story and they're very, you know, connected.
Definitely. I mean, I think it goes back to the hands thing for sure. I love that you brought that up, though, because I've thought about that a lot in my own work, or like, you know, if you're at a wedding day, and for me, motion is a little bit more important than photography. So I'm always trying to figure out ways to get them to move around. And some couples just are not lovey-dovey and like super physically affectionate in that way. And I think I forget that not all couples are like that, and that's totally fine. And like, it's their love story. I don't have to, again, fit them into this box to make my content look good, because it's not them.
Right. Exactly. And as soon as you can like strip that away, you actually will probably create the content that you want. So if you go into it versus, you know, trying to just create movement that might look awesome on your next Instagram reel, and you tell them like, or engage them in some conversation that like flashes them back to a cool memory, or gets them laughing about like, you know, what their favorite sandwich is to make, or something totally off topic, you know, or adjusting one another, like saying one word back and forth about what they love about each other, just getting them out of their, like, you know, maybe their nerves, their like their jitters on that day, it'll actually open them up to movement that might not have been in your mind, but it reflects them perfectly.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it's what I love also of this conversation is that even though we went into it focusing on queer couples, the advice is so universal, and I think the it really all comes back to putting people in boxes, and I love that.
Yeah, because like I do think that there is a need for a resource, like more resources for people who do not identify in the queer community to understand and like be more open and like open their eyes and, you know, like help them to practice and learn that like it's all just love. Yeah. Like it's just an embrace, like it's just someone adoring someone else. And so there's certainly, I do think though, like I think you're onto something, Abigail, that like people still need like guidance, you know. So it's great that you're like creating this conversation, and I hope that some of these like small little gestures or tips like help someone else to become more inclusive, so that, you know, like they just feel more alive and like lit up.
Yeah, I really hope so too. It's been a really important piece of my business for a little while now, and you know, led to me creating the LGBTQ wedding resource guide for the DMV. And what's funny is that I feel like most of my motivation almost comes from anger, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I mean, when I created the resource guide, passion. That's good. That's good. Because creating the resource guide really came from the fact that it was so disheartening to me to look around and not really see a lot of wedding vendors very passionately supporting queer couples. And I was like, I do not get it. I just don't get it. And so when I would get emails, I think before my site was like super everybody friendly, you know, I would still get emails that started with like, do you take gay couples? And I just broke my heart every time. And so I just, that's like sort of, I feel like a mission of mine to like stop having to make people email you with that line and just know that you will work with them because they're in love and they're great.
Yeah, well, I mean, it, you know, it still goes back to the whole thing is, you know, is it within their wheelhouse? And is it a part of like who they are and their why? And that is, it is really sad that that still exists. And it's still something like, you know, the people before us, like moved the pendulum so much, and we still have to do our work to move it and continue to progress people's like openness to, you know, everybody's love. Definitely. But I really do think that, like, I mean, we planned our wedding a year and a half ago, and those emails still came in. And I've been in the wedding industry for 15 years. Shannon and I had a very open, like, online relationship. Like, I was so in, like, I don't know. It just, like, I was bursting at the seams with love when I met her. And I couldn't, like, withhold any information. So I always found it hilarious when someone would email me, like, and who is your groom? And I'm like, I don't know it. Like, I don't even want to reply to your email because you obviously didn't even stalk me for a second. Like, you'd see my beautiful fiance and be like, okay, I get it.
Well, I was going to ask you if you had come across that in your own wedding planning, but I know that a lot of the people that you hired for your wedding were like good friends of yours. So I wasn't sure.
Oh yeah. So we ended up bringing like our dream team were people that like I've been aligned with for many years. Yeah. And but there were still other things that we had to like search for, like a venue and, you know, a dress for me to wear and a suit for Shannon and like all sorts of things, like a cake. You know, there were some things that, you know, where we were getting married kind of determined new vendors. And it was fascinating talking to some venues. I think venues need a lot of education and you know, I hope that this can just go out to all venues to help them to start to see that, like, I'm sorry, that is not a bridal suite. You know, there's so many terms that we're just like used to using and we continue to use. I actually had a venue tell me that they thought I was a scam artist because I was using the word partner and spouse and fiance, and they just couldn't stop putting me in the bridegroom box. And I was like, no. And so, you know, those things just obviously are still out there, unfortunately.
Oh my God, my mouth just fell open.
I know. I was so excited to tell you that. Like, I've been dying to like share about our process, but you know, like pandemic COVID-19 hits, hashtag like who has time to share about our wedding from a year and a half ago. But there were some hilarious, and I always try to like just laugh at situations. I always am a believer on like, all right, you just gotta spread some honey on everything, but that specific conversation like riled me up a little bit, and I was
gosh,
like,
I can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Legit, those words were used, scam artist, because they thought I was saying I had a business partner who was trying to, I mean, it was just like so off the wall. I was like, have you never had a gay or lesbian couple, like,
seriously,
you know, like anyone other than a bride and groom get married at your venue?
That's wild.
It you know, crazy.
I worked with a venue. I was a part of someone else's styled shoot last year, and it was a brand new venue, and it was so beautiful. But I was stereotyping a little bit in the kind of venue it was and where it was and who ran it. And I was really nervous because I really loved their venue, but I wouldn't want to refer it if they only took what people like to call traditional couples, which really grinds my gears. Code for straight white people. So I ended up DMing them though, and I was like, hey, like, also just random question. Do you allow same sex couples here? And they're like, oh, absolutely. And I was like, oh, thank God. I was really worried for a minute. And I feel that way, like, it's so funny because I feel that way now when I connect with new wedding vendors all the time. Like, if I'm connecting with new photographers, or like if I've really tried to reach out to more specifically female videographers recently and like try to mentor some more people and just share my knowledge. But it's always a little bit nerve-wracking because I feel like, unfortunately, I have to like ask that question up front. Like, it's such a strange thing to ask, but like, it's important to me that they work with everybody. But I think the venue thing is so important. I've been thinking so much about the bridal suite, groom suite thing.
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah.
And it's like the bridal suite is all like airy and white and blue, and the groom suite is all like masculine and leather.
Exactly. And I'm like, Shannon wanted that room. And I was like, it needs to be called something different.
I think that's so smart though, because I just genuinely don't think it's something that venues think about.
No.
I mean, at least especially if they've never hosted a same-sex wedding. But still, I think that's incredibly valuable for venues to know. And I think there's plenty of things like that. Even bathrooms, I think, is like a hot issue at the moment.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I mean, the words bridesmaid, groomsmen, you know,
yes,
I'm like,
yeah.
Well, I've had so many mixed wedding parties that I just have such a hard time ever using the bridesmaid, groomsman word, because you know, not everybody identifies that way. Some people have like all sorts of, you know, different like outfittings and everything. Like, you know, I feel like everything's on the table now. So
Yeah.
we've got to start like working on, I call it either like a wedding crew or your VIPs. If you are looking for like new, you know, terminology.
That's cute. Yeah, I definitely have. That's something I've done very recently is made sure to say like wedding party or like how many on each side instead of like how many bridesmaids, how many groomsmen. Yeah, that's so important.
I think that a lot of people are afraid to be vulnerable. And so it's in vulnerability that we can actually grow and like we can get closer to one another. So if like people listening to this are not sure of like if their site or, you know, if the information that they're sharing is as open as they want it, like if why not ask someone? You know, it is in being vulnerable that like you can actually become like exactly what you want it to be. So like you said earlier, like it's okay to mess up because, you know, in the end, like we're all in this to just like feel more love and like feel lit up around each other and like feel like I'm allowed to live in my space as big as I want it to be. And so are you. You know, I've owned my wedding company, you know, photography company for 15 years, and I started it in college. And my personal story has changed so much over that time. And when I fell in love with Shannon, there, like, I mean, there wasn't even a second that I was like, do I share this with my entire, you know, community that knows me as something, you know, someone different? They had put me in a different box. And I mean, I can't share enough that, like, when you step into your just being 100% you, people see, they feel that, and they just like embrace it. And so when Shannon and I fell in love, and like I was just like, not hiding this from anybody. Like, I don't, you know, I don't even want to look at the business risks or whatever, because, you know, there were people that talked about that, like sharing your true identity, like your true self. As a business owner. And I was like, no way. Like, I want to be who I am 100%. Like, this is the person I love. And if you can't step into that with me and like, just fly a flag with us, then like, I'm okay with you, you know, not being on my path with me.
100%.
I hope that sounds okay. But like, it's just one of those things that I just felt so like passionate about that I'm like, if you can step into all of who you are, like people just embrace it. Like that excites people because it might even inspire someone else to be like, man, I've been hiding who I was because I was afraid people might not accept, you know, this version of me.
100%. I think that vulnerability is definitely an undercurrent of this whole conversation. And I mean, I tell basically everyone like, hey, put your face on Instagram and like show up for your brand and show people who you are, because one, it connects you to people by doing random silly things that you would never know if you didn't do it. And two, it builds people's trust in you because they know who you are and you're being open and vulnerable with them. And I think I do acknowledge that it's much easier for some people. I have always been very extroverted. I joke that I was a theater kid, so I have no problem being in front of the camera as well as behind the camera.
<too. laughs>
But I know that that's not easy for everybody. And, you know, I'm thinking now about, I really didn't come out too long ago. I came out as an adult, and I came out like on my personal page for a little while, and I can't remember when exactly I kind of brought that into my business, but now it's something I'm so open about. And like you said, if people don't jive with that, like that's cool. Like you're probably not my people, so that's totally fine. And I think that's true with, you know, finding your ideal clients and marketing and all of that. Like if they're not your people, that's totally fine. You're equally attracting and repelling people. I love all of that.
Yeah, I mean, we could go into so many things like this conversation about like vulnerability and like inclusion, it's like it goes into the competitive forces of being a business owner in a creative world. Like there's just so many things that you could apply these kind of thoughts and, you know, focus on, just like focusing on people's energy and allowing people to be in their space and you in yours. So anyways, because I love what you're saying about like, there are so many different types of people and styles that make others feel comfortable. And so I am, you know, an intro extrovert as well. And I wear my heart on my sleeve. And, you know, I have since like the moment I started my business, like I, you know, overshare and I want to like get close with my clients and my couples so that I can really like capture who they are. But I definitely understand that there's many businesses out there that they don't tie their personal life into their business as much. Yeah. And that's totally, you know, that's great too. But there still is a way to connect and be compassionate and open to people without even sharing like your full life story.
Definitely. And I think we're similar in that way. And listen, I'll tell you, if you're one of those people who don't feel comfortable sharing everything and anything that pops into your brain like I do, it might be for the better, because then when a global pandemic hits and your entire identity is your brand and your business and suddenly you can't work, you'll be fine.
That's right. I know. I had to like relearn who I am, because I had identified myself as a business owner for so many years, and all of a sudden I was gardening more than I was photographing weddings. And I was like, this is weird and amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Ugh, I feel like we could talk forever and ever, and I'm just really, really grateful that I've been able to open up these kinds of conversations, because A, they're just so important. And B, like, I just, you know, as I move into more kind of education or mentorship, there are just so many nuances to being a business owner and being in the wedding industry. And we've hit so many of them today, and there's just so many layers. And I think getting down to that vulnerability level really is something. There's a nugget in there. And so I'm just really grateful for these conversations.
Yeah, me too. And thank you for opening them up, because I really do think like, even if, you know, one person hears something from this and they dig a little bit deeper, you know, and like shed a layer so that all of who they are can like shine out, I think that it really, truly will like make our small community, our state, our country, our world, you know, it just like all vibrates out from like within one person. So it's really neat that you've opened this conversations up.
Thank you. I hope that that's true. I really hope that's true.
It is true. You gotta believe, because there is always one person, and really and truly, like it takes one person hearing it. And then it's just like a wave. It's like the ripple effect. Cause you really only need one person to like turn their light on a little brighter, like, and it will shift all those people that touch, see, interact with them.
Yeah. Yeah. So shine your light, y'all. Shine that freaking light.
I want to get a t-shirt that says that. Shine your light for all to see.
I would love that. I'm going to design that now. Ugh, I love it. Okay. Well, at the end of every episode, I have to ask, I mean, if it isn't like very blatantly obvious, but still the question is, why are you so passionate about this topic?
Well, yes, if it isn't apparent from that, if you didn't have a chance to listen to our conversation, I am just incredibly passionate about just inclusivity for all, because I have had, you know, so many experiences from growing up. I was in theater, just I loved everybody. Like I wanted everyone to be embraced and to feel loved and accepted by all those that are around them. And so opening up these conversations and talking about just one more step further where we can just love and accept each other for who, you know, others are, just makes me feel excited and hopeful that, you know, more and more people will step into 100% of who they are, because it's safer.
I love it. Okay, well, tell people where they can find you online.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, if you want to continue this conversation with me or Abigail, you can find me on Instagram. That's where I hang out most of the time, at Carly Fuller Photo. I'm also on Clubhouse, so check me out. But that's where my married name is, Carly LeDrew. It's French, LeDroux. And obviously, my website is carlyfuller.com. I would love to, you know, have further conversations with people too about this topic, because Abigail, it's just like it lights a fire inside of me. So thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the DMV Wedding Pros podcast. You can find Carly with the links in our show notes, as well as the link to the transcript of this episode. We are on Instagram at DMV Wedding Pros podcast. Hop over there and leave some love on Carly's post. And if there's anyone or anything that you would love to hear about, just shoot us a DM. You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts telling people what they should expect and why they should tune in. Till next time.